Let's lift our hands tonight to heaven. Amen. Let's welcome the presence of the Lord in this room. Without His presence, we're just another service. Without His presence, it's just a song. The only thing that separates us from Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Catholics, Muslims, heathens, is the presence of God. We'd open up our spirit tonight and welcome His presence. Let Him breathe on you. I just got through reading a scripture where it said, Job said, the breath of Almighty hath given me life. If God will just breathe on Heart Cry Chapel tonight, we'll leave with life. You don't have to wait another day. I asked this morning as I preached at Southland, why not here? Why not you? And why not now? You don't have to wait till another day. We don't need another service. You don't need another preacher. We don't have to wait till another year. You don't need another marriage. Why not you? Why not here? And why not now? There's something amazing going to take place in this room tonight, and you're here to witness what's about to happen. I trust the Lord tonight that as we flow with Him and just obey Him, blinded eyes are going to be open. I'm spiritually speaking, there are blinded folks in this house tonight, amen, that don't see the importance of Jesus Christ. We have alcoholics in this room tonight. Let's put our hands together and welcome them in the house of God. See, this is where they need to be. The church today is too full of scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and what I call nearsighted saints that can't see past the end of their spiritual nose. Then you've got farsighted saints that see the problems in everybody else but can't identify their own. We need 20/20 vision back in the body of Christ. I've always said that the church should be full of alcoholics. It ought to be full of whores. It ought to be full of whoremongers, pedophiles, drug addicts. Because let me tell you something. If you're an alcoholic or even if you're drunk, you're welcome to come to my services. For this reason, if you're ever going to find deliverance, you've got to first get somewhere where you can hear about Jesus. And no better place to find Him than at Heart Cry Chapel tonight. We have drug addicts in the room tonight. Let's put our hands together and welcome them into the house of God. And I'm not going to be intimidated by it. I'm not going to tiptoe around this issue because I'm glad they're here. We have Muslims in the room tonight. Let's welcome the Muslim community into the house of God. You are welcome here. Yes, you are. You know, it's like when people different from us show up, we get nervous. Oh, I'm glad they're here. Thank you for taking the time to even give us a chance. You may not believe in Jesus Christ, but I'm not through preaching either. I believe in my product. And I believe if we could just get you here, chains will be broken. I don't feel the preacher just yet, so we're going to sing another line of this. I'm not going to preach till the preacher gets here, because the last one you need to hear from is me. I'm going to preach, because you know why? God gave me something to preach. But everything is in timing. And we're not going to rush this service tonight. I'm not into miscarriages. You have it today, you lose it tomorrow. All right, let's just flow with it. The last thing Pastor Leonard told me before I came to the pulpit is don't make it happen, just flow with it. So I'm going to take him up on his offer. I'm just going to flow with it. I'll preach when the preacher releases me to preach. We got pastors in this house, amen, from other churches that are fighting severe warfares. Let's put our hands together and welcome them in the house of God tonight. I believe with all of my heart, amen, that the Spirit of God is in this house, amen, to set us free. Hey, why can't we have church tonight? Think about it. Think about what's taking place tonight in this room. As I just said, we've got alcoholics, we've got drug addicts, we've got Muslims that have come tonight. We've got Jehovah's Witness in the room. Amen. We've got pastors here. We've got different denominations in this house tonight. We've got tongue talkers and tongue forbidders. They'll get that in a minute. Come on, amen. Why can't we have church tonight? Let's take the pressure off of these three. Let's just unloose these two. Shake off the heavy bands, lift up our spirits to God and say, God, invade my space. Invade me, God. Manifest who you are to me tonight in this house. And I'll give you the glory and I'll give you the praise. One more line of this, Sister Shirley. Bless us with this. I'm going to come in behind this and I'm going to tear the devil's kingdom all to pieces tonight. Hey, listen. My throat is so raw. I've been preaching this morning and preaching at night. I've been in that town for 3 days and done preached feels like 8 times, all right? So my throat is raw. I didn't even wear a cologne tonight. I've ate so many cough drops today, I'm just wearing menthol. Is that okay? Come on, amen. So what you smell around me, amen, that's just a cure for a sore throat. So the devil has told me for what I'm going to preach tonight, I'm not going to have the voice nor the power to press through it. So that's just validation. I'm going to preach it and prove him to be the liar that he is. But I need somebody to get behind me tonight. Don't you sit down on me tonight. I want you to turn me loose, amen, and feed the baby tonight. Y'all want to hear some noise at Heart Cry. Let hell be notified, amen. We didn't comb our hair and get ready to come to church for nothing, amen. We came tonight to have ourselves a neck-jerking Pentecostal buffalo fit, and I'm not leaving with no less than that. Give him praise tonight. Put your hands together. Welcome the presence of God. Go ahead, guys, one more time. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. You can be seated tonight. My. Touch your neighbor. Touch three people and tell them, get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Don't you leave nobody out. I said, don't you dare leave nobody out. You do think somebody didn't touch that fella, you reach over and warn him, get ready. It might be his night. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. I love your Heart Cry. Thank you so much for the invitation to be in town with you this week. It's been exceptional. I've been a full-time evangelist living by faith for 21 years, and I've traveled the world. God's privileged me to be able to travel to Africa and Honduras, and Ecuador, Philippines, and China, and Armenia. And I can tell you that in my travels, amen, it is a rare thing. Very rare. You pretty much have to go to another country. I don't mean that sarcastically. To find the level of hunger and the level of thirst that we've experienced this week in Kissimmee. Very, very honest about that. Very honest. Most churches that I go to, by the end of the revival, I've pretty much got them where they should have been before I came. But then it's time to leave. And it seems like when we got here, the groundwork had been laid. The preparation had been made. And preparation always precedes blessing. That's exactly right. Preparation precedes blessing. I don't have revivals at churches where I go to where the pastor waited 7 days prior to the revival to announce it. I don't experience a move of God when I go to places where there's been absolutely no fasting. There's been no sacrifice. There's just been none at all. You don't experience God moving like this. But when you come in town and the preparation's already been made and I don't have to do the pastor's job and I can get in my lane and be who I am, which is simply an evangelist. My job as an evangelist is to get you out of Egypt. And that's all I can do. I do a pretty good job at it. Amen. I don't get everybody out of it. Amen. But they sure know I tried. Come on. Amen. All right. My job as an evangelist is to get you out of Egypt. But Brother Leonard's job as a pastor is to get you to the promised land. That's why God created a fivefold ministry and not a one-man band. It's because we need each other in the body. And a lot of pastors today don't have revivals anymore because they don't want to run the risk of another speaker coming in and upsetting the apple cart and you know, rubbing anybody wrong. So what eventually happens is he has a series of meetings, but he invites his pastor buddy down the road. And, you know, you don't need me to preach like a pastor. You already have one of those. You don't need me to be like Brother Leonard. You already have Brother Leonard. Come on, amen. God knows we don't need two of those, do we? Come on. Well, Karen said amen anyhow, all right? So I mean, it's just been amazing this week how that I came into town and you guys have just embraced me and just loved me, and you just continued to throw gasoline on the fire every night. You've went out, you've invited. Brother Gary stood up and testified last night that if we would bring one person each, we'd have twice the crowd. This is the biggest crowd we've had thus far in the revival, and it has continued to grow since Sunday morning. We have over 150 people in this room tonight. What a testimony. What a testimony. This is just our fourth service together. And let me clarify one thing. It has nothing to do with me. I said it has nothing to do with me. Because if it had to do with me, I would experience this every church I go to. So the fact that it doesn't happen everywhere I go tells me it's not about me. Let me tell you what it's about. Number one, it's your time. This is your season. This is what you have prayed for. This is what you have fasted for. This is what you have sacrificed for. This is the reason you pushed away the plate. This is the reason why you got out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning and pulled away to get alone with God. This is the reason for the warfare. This is the reason why the devil has attacked you. This is the reason why it seems like the devil has hosted the National Demon Convention in your front yard and the bus broke down. Come on. This is the reason for all of the heartache. It's because the devil wouldn't be fighting us if God wasn't about to bless us. Amen. So when you look around and you see tonight that the crowds are growing and curiosity is aroused and Facebook is blowed up. Come on, we're crashing computers. Come on, amen. All right, that's prophetic. That's going to happen next. Then you know something is in the atmosphere. Number one, it's your time. But here, even more so, you're hungry. And God always feeds according to appetite. If you were not hungry, then these words would fall out of my mouth like a lead weight, land on the floor. Amen. Listen, God's even made my enemies to be at peace with me in this revival. Since this revival has started, several of you didn't like me because of the first time I come. Amen. I rocked your boat. And you didn't like it. I said some comments that didn't sit right with you. But you know what? If this happened one time, it's happened more times than I can count. People walking up and hugging me and saying, forgive me for judging you. Forgive me for not liking you. You gave me a chance, friend, and you found out that I too am a work in progress. Hey, there ain't none of us any count. Everybody in this house has a story, from Brother Leonard to your evangelist. We've all got stuff in our closet. We've all doing things and saying things, amen, that even rubs ourselves wrong. But you know what? We need to give one another a chance to just be used by God and be who we are. And I believe with all of my heart, amen, that heart cries exactly where I belong this week. And I am so at home. You guys have spoiled me completely rotten. Amen. I started to get in the truck today, amen, and go find a realtor. Come on, amen. I just started to try to find me somewhere. I need to hang out a while in Kissimmee. This has been good, amen. One last thing before I preach tonight. It is an honor to have one of the greatest spiritual fathers, if not the greatest God's ever put in my life. And frankly, the best friend I've ever had, amen, Mr. Rob Ennis on the front row. I thank him for coming tonight to support me. Rob is the reason I'm even here tonight. Because Rob has continued to bring me in for 17 years to Kissimmee, Florida, to preach at Southland Christian School. And allow me liberty and freedom, amen, to just rock those kids' world over there. And we've had some bumpy rides along the way, but he's always stood true to me and defended me. And it was out of Southland that I was able to meet Brother Leonard. And I just thank you, Brother Rob, for having me and just releasing me to be able to go in the community and minister at other churches and just be a part of the kingdom and not just Southland. Because all preachers, amen, won't give you that liberty. And I appreciate that. Amen? All right, Chris, I'm going to mess you up, brother, right off the bat. Ezekiel chapter 37, my friend. Ezekiel chapter 37 tonight will be my launching pad. Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm not going to give you the verse yet because you guys, I already know how you are. You'll take off a reading and won't listen to a doggone thing I'm saying. Come on, amen. So when everybody gets to Ezekiel chapter 37, amen, I want to hear a big hallelujah. All right, that wasn't big enough, so I'm going to wait. All right. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 37. We're going to read two verses out of the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And by the way, thank you, Heart Cry, for those of you that came over to Southland this morning to support us, amen, and be in the service with us. We'll be there back there again in the morning at 8:15, amen, and we're going to have a full-blown service again, amen. Simpson Road, Fortune Road, schools on the right-hand side. Ezekiel chapter 37 tonight. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture being verse 1, and then I'm going to read another verse of Scripture, verse 10. Watch this closely. Two verses of Scripture. Then put on your seatbelt and get ready. Because in Alabama, we call this a humdinger of a word. One you're not going to forget. Ezekiel 37, verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Somebody say a graveyard. Look at verse 10. So I prophesied as God commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. I can't think of a more powerful scripture that relates to where we are right now at Heart Cry Chapel than those two verses. It wasn't too long, this church, it seemed as though you were a graveyard going down for the count. But if you even opened your eyes tonight and halfway paid attention, it ain't a graveyard now. There ain't nothing cold and dead in this house. I see an army. We just got through singing about that army. So I want you to high five three people tonight and tell them, you are armed and dangerous. You are armed and dangerous. That'll be it, guys. Thank you, brother. All right, I need to hear that seatbelt click. Some of you are going to get whiplash because I'm going to take off real quick. And you're not used to this, all right? Amen. Those of you, amen, that go to church, amen, and everybody tips throat to the tulips and 55 people stare at one man that shouts amen, you're fixing to get a neck-jerking message right here, all right? So put on your seatbelt. In most cases, when we hear preaching from Ezekiel chapter 37, it is used to speak to us of the power of God. In my 21 years of traveling the world and preaching and ministering, I can tell you that I've heard this passage preached more times than I can count. About every pastor, every preacher that I come in contact with has jumped off into Ezekiel 37 at one point or time because it's amazing to preach. It's a fun passage to preach because it talks about reviving and resurrecting and restoring, much like what's on the bulletin for the revival. In Ezekiel chapter 37, one of the reasons why we preachers enjoy this passage is because it shows us how our God can move into the graveyard of our lives and resurrect dreams and visions, how he can step into the middle of our chaos and confusion, and God Almighty, Jesus Christ, can bring order and peace. We see God take nothing, and through the process of hearing the Word of God and the operation of the Holy Spirit, we watch him in Ezekiel 37 turn nothing into something great and powerful. And then, Brother Leonard, we as preachers, we labor with great diligence and attention to detail to show the congregation and those listening how a valley full of dry, desolate, broken, separated bones are eventually transformed into the final product of a mighty army standing on their feet ready to fight. Then watch this. I've observed this in 20 years. We then close the Bible, shout about the miracle in the valley of dry bones, shake hands at the back door, get in the car, crank it up, and simply go home and forget it. Right? But tonight, I'm going to start this message where we usually quit. I'm not here tonight to preach to dry, dead bones. You should have been here last night, amen? Would have helped you. I'm here to prophesy to the army of the living God. Listen to me. I'm not going to take time tonight to speak to the depressed and the distressed. I'm not going to speak to the fretful and the fearful. I'm not in this house to speak to the wounded and the worried. I did that the last couple of nights. I don't mean to sound cynical and I don't mean to sound uncaring because I do care about your battles. I do care about your fight. I do care about your livelihood, your destiny, your purpose, and your future. And I have proven that even in this revival. But tonight, listen to me. Amen. God, amen, has put my attention on a different class of people, amen. You see, God told me several days ago that in this room tonight, there would be a select few that have answered the call of the Spirit of God to come up to a higher place and live on a higher plane. God said that in this room tonight, there is a rare breed of people who have learned to be soldiers. God said that it's time for the army of the Lord at Heart Cry Chapel to come to attention, line up in rank and file. God said the adversity is great, Pastor Leonard. The conditions are extremely hard, Sister Karen. Many of you here tonight are currently engaged in extreme warfare in your churches, with your people, with your family, in your neighborhood, on your job. Amen. But let me tell you something. God told me just today, amen, that you are bred for battle. Come come on. God said that you're bred for battle. God says that you're armed and you're dangerous. Give Him praise tonight. I'm here to tell you, church, this is your hour of power. This is it. God said He's ready to raise you up out of the valley of dry bones. He's already brought divine order into your life. He's already strengthened you and nourished you with His Word. He's already sent the wind of His Spirit. He's already filled your lives and stood you up on your feet. God's not your problem. You are your problem. God is not your problem. The problem is to us, not to God. What more does He have to do? He sent the best gift heaven had to offer. And while Jesus Christ walked this earth, heaven stood bankrupt. God said, I'm going to take this light out of here and I'm going to stick it down there. And while Jesus crossed and walked on this earth, heaven stood bankrupt. As a matter of fact, let me tell you something. I thank God that I serve Jesus Christ that left the portals of glory to come to a landfill looking for a piece of trash like me. Amen. But I sure am glad that God's in the recycling business. Come on. I said, I'm glad that God's in the recycling business. Come on. Because He took an old rusty tin can like me. Amen. And remolded me and reshaped me and refashioned me. He helped me swap my crack rock for the solid rock, and I haven't been the same since. Come on. The truth of the fact of it is, amen, this is your hour of power. It's time to fulfill your purpose, reach your destiny, and fight till there is no fight left in you, friend. As a matter of fact, you are God's hands and feet in Kissimmee, Florida. You are the agents of change and deliverance in this region. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the gospel. You are anointed and appointed. You are commanded and commissioned. You are elected and directed. Yes, you are delegated, designated, and nominated. Come on. To tear the devil's kingdom down. Give Him praise. I can tell that don't excite some of you. That's because you hadn't joined the army yet. But you'll have a chance to do that here in just a moment. The truth of the fact of it is, the baton has been passed. The mantle has fallen upon us. Smith Wigglesworth is not here anymore. Charles Finney is dead. John Wesley is gone. And William Seymour is history. Maria Woodworth Eder, D.L. Moody, A.A. Allen, Jack Cole, Burt Clendenin, David Wilkerson, Jonathan Edwards, and many other great men and women of God are not here anymore. And they will not be returning to America. Church, I have come in this house tonight to tell you face to face, it is now our turn to pick up the banner. It is now our turn to run with it. We are those that's been anointed to break through and set the captives free. We are those that's been anointed to bring deliverance to the bound and the oppressed. We are those that's not only been called but chosen to fight the fight of faith in a society that has become morally corrupt and destitute of life itself. You are armed and dangerous, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Give Him praise. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. In this battle, this warfare, in this satanic invasion of good versus evil that we're seeing going on in society today, we have the advantage. Many of you are beat down and you're discouraged and you are frustrated and you are so offended at what our society is becoming. And I say to that, you should be. We took God out of schools and replaced Him with condoms. Time to get offended about that. And no, I'm not politically correct. So if that's what you're used to, you showed up at the wrong service. That's one of the reasons why the crowd's growing, amen. It's simply because, amen, there's a region right here in this area that's sick and tired of political correctness. We're sick and tired of playing it safe, amen, while our children blow their brains out. We're sick and tired of playing it safe, amen, while our families become more alcoholics. We're sick and tired of playing it safe, amen, while our little ones are left to pick up the pieces, amen, of a daddy that couldn't control his zipper, amen, and mama had no right, amen, to raise a child. The truth is, we're living in a mess in this society today, amen, with preachers today on television preaching their pop psychology and their hot tub Christianity, dodging the tough issues of sin and righteousness. Amen, America has become addicted to prayerless preaching. I said America has become addicted to to prayerless preaching. Preachers that have no unction to function. Preachers that are deader than last year's bird nest. Preachers that tiptoe through the tulips. Amen. I say it like this. Preach with intensity. Preach without apology. Amen. Preach relentlessly. Or shut your mouth and sell insurance. You're not a preacher. We need fire again back in the pulpits. This is what I was raised on, and I make no apologies for it. And if it worked 50 years ago, it'll work again in 2016. Fire. In this battle of warfare, let me tell you something. God didn't hang us out to dry, amen, without weapons. Brother Thompson, heart cry is armed and dangerous. I said heart cry is armed and dangerous. I'm not wearing an empty holster. And I sure ain't carrying in my back pocket a butter knife. I'm going to break it down tonight and prove to you just how dangerous and armed we really are. Number one, we have been armed with the armor of God. God has given us His armor. I said God has given us His armor. And if you notice when you look at that, you find no armor for the back. You find armor for the feet. You find your sins, amen. For the preparation of the gospel of peace, amen. Got on the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, the helmet of salvation. But there is no armor for the back. You want to know why? Because God's given us everything we need to fight. Amen. It's not time to run. It's not time to bail out. It's not time to sell out. It's not time to fall out. It is time to fight. I said fight. Dude, there's no fight. Fight left in you. Number two, and get ready because here's where it gets bumpy. We have been empowered with the name of Jesus Christ. We got folks in the room tonight don't know the power of that name, so let me introduce them to you. We have been empowered with the name that is above every name. The name that holds power in three worlds, heaven, earth, and hell. There is a name that is exalted higher than any name ever spoken since the beginning of time. That name Jesus is above the name Muhammad. The name Jesus is above the name Allah. The name Jesus is above the name Confucius. The name Jesus is above the name Pope. The name Jesus is above the name Buddha. The name Jesus is above Martin Luther King. The name Jesus is above Sir Francis Newton. The name Jesus is above Barack Insane Obama. I'm telling you right now, it's even above Satan himself. I've got a name that's above every name. Give him praise. Yes, praise him. Reinhard Bonnke. Well, who is he? I'll introduce him. Reinhard Bonnke. I was in a conference with Reinhard Bonnke in Uganda, Africa. And I can tell you he is what they advertise him to be. A humble servant of God. You thought I was going to really boost him up, right? No. Because the Spirit of God, that is exactly right. The Spirit of God told Reinhard Bonnke, don't get caught up in what I've done through you. You were my third choice. Huh? And he's never forgot that. And the truth is, Reinhard Bonnke has one of the most amazing ministries worldwide. Amen. I'm talking about healing crusades and demonic deliverance goes on in his crusades. I mean, in America, we ordain them as elders, put them over here as a deacon. If they got a special, we let them sing. Come on. In Africa, they cast it out of them. Come on. Hello. Huh? There's a difference, right? Reinhard Bonnke was casting a devil out of a warlock. The demons began to cry out, Reinhard Bonnke, I know who you are, and I'm not afraid of you. Reinhard Bonnke fired back and said, I know exactly that you know who I am. And I also know, amen, that you're aware, amen, that I've got a name that's above all names, amen. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to come out of him and go into empty and tormented places. The devil came out of that man. And today that man pastors seven churches in Uganda, Africa. The simple name. Simple name. The Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Jesus and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. May I tell you tonight, dear friend, there is none other like Jesus Christ. You cannot compare Jesus Christ to anyone. No mortal man can with him compare among the sons of men. Listen to me carefully. The noted historian H.G. Wells, I love reading his books, but H.G. Wells made a list of the 10 greatest men of history, and number one on his list was Jesus Christ. No, I didn't get excited. Let me tell you why it didn't excite me. I'll tell you this, friend, because Jesus doesn't belong on that list. As a matter of fact, he doesn't belong on anybody's list. He's not Jesus Christ the Great. He is not Jesus Christ the Good. He is not Jesus Christ the Better. To put him on a list is to compare him with men. You may speak of the great Elijah or the great Simon Peter or even Alexander the Great, but not Jesus Christ the Great. He is Jesus Christ, the one and only. Never has there been another even remotely close like the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it is the uniqueness of Jesus Christ that makes his birth so important. Watch this. I look at it like this. Hashtag take 10-minute break. The devil's been kicking this man and beating the tar out of Karen. Here's the way I see it. You kick us, we kick back. You wanted a fight, you're going to get one. But I come with a word. You hear me? You pick on her, I beat your lights out. You hear me? You take your hands off of us, you get out of the town. Come on. And you back down and you back up because we are victorious. Come on. We are the sons and daughters of a living God who is not dead. He is Alpha. He is Omega. He is first. He is last. He is beginning. He is end. He's my high power, the lifter of my head. El Shaddai, my soon coming king. My lily in the valley, my rose of Sharon. I'm telling you, the best friend mankind could ever have. So since he wants to fight, let me clarify a few things, devil. It is a uniqueness of Jesus Christ that makes Christianity different. See, we got all these different religions in the world today, and we got so many different churches on one block, nobody knows which one's right anymore. Right? Now, I could take the rest of the night and break it down for you Jehovah's Witness that are trying to get the Jehovah and bypass the witness. But I don't have all night to deal with that, okay? So let me make this statement. You can take Buddha out of Buddhism and still have Buddhism. You can take Confucius out of Confucianism and still have Confucianism. You can take Muhammad out of Islam and still have Islam. You can take Joseph Smith out of Mormonism and still have Mormonism. You can even take Obama out of the White House, what a brilliant idea, and still have America. But you cannot take Jesus Christ out of Christianity and still have Christianity. Hey. With all other religions, you do your best to try to live by their teachings. Yet the founders are not really necessary. My God, this is good. Woo! Huh? Right on time. With all other religions, you do your best to try to live by their teachings. Yet the founders are not really necessary. But with Christianity, you cannot take Christ out of Christianity and still have Christianity. To take Christ out of Christianity is like removing the notes out of music or the numbers out of mathematics. When you are done, you have nothing left to work with. Listen to me carefully. Other religions tell us, here is a sign to the way. But Jesus Christ said, I am the way. Other religions tell us, here's a philosophy that points to the truth. But Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. Other religions teach us, here's a way to find life. But Jesus Christ said, That's who the Lord Jesus is, friend. And you need to understand this principle. Never has there ever been another like the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know the exact date of His birth, but we know that His birth alone divided history into B.C. and A.D. And every nickel and dime and penny in your pocket bears testimony to the importance of this baby that was born in Bethlehem. Hey. I just got to have a can't help it moment. Jesus Christ was born in the meanest of circumstances. But the air above was filled with hallelujahs of a heavenly host. His lodging was a cattle pen, yet a star drew distinguished visitors from afar to pay him homage. His relatives were inconspicuous and uninfluential. Yet in childhood, Jesus puzzled the doctors and then defied the law of gravitation by walking on the water and quieting the raging sea. Jesus Christ never fired a gun, never marshaled an army, fired a gun, lit a cannon, tossed a grenade. Yet He's brought more peace to wars than all wars combined. He never founded a college, yet He's got more students than all colleges combined. Jesus Christ never took a pen and wrote a song, yet He has furnished the theme of more songs, amen, than all other religions combined. You see, Jesus Christ had no cornfields or fisheries, but He could spread a table for 5,000 and have bread and fish to spare. He broke up every funeral He ever saw. Amen. A matter of fact, He said, amen, that the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. Amen. Rudy, He was born in a borrowed stable. He rode on a borrowed boat. He was nailed to a borrowed cross. And His crucifixion was the crime of all crimes. The innocent suffering for the guilty. When Jesus Christ died, only a few men even mourned. But a black creek was hung over the sun. Though men trembled not for their sins, the earth beneath shook under the load. All nature honored Him. Sinners alone rejected Him. He gave His life that you and I might live. Great men have come and gone, yet Jesus lived. On. Herod cannot kill Him. The devil cannot seduce Him. And even demons still obey Him. He's the King of kings, and there's not up for debate. Give Him praise. Woo! That's who He is. Man, I'm lit. Wow, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I know what some of you are thinking, man, my church couldn't handle that. Let's not worry with them. Let's just start with you. Don't worry about that. Amen. Let's let God minister to you. That's why I worship Him. This is the reason I celebrate His birth. He has no rival. He has no competition. He is not equal to anything or anyone. And sinner man, tonight He lays claim to your life. You don't tip your hat to Jesus. You bow your knee to Jesus. So let me illustrate that. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. I will bring Him a royal diadem, and I will crown Him Lord of all. Let's give Him praise in this house tonight for who He is. Hallelujah to the priceless, precious Lamb of God Almighty. That's who Jesus is. That's why I'm armed and dangerous. I got a name. I got me some armor. But I got something else. Not only has God armed me and you as Christians with a name above all names. Not only has He given unto us protection called His armor. But watch this. Here's where the devil wants to throw up. We also have been empowered with the blood of Jesus Christ. Makes the devil sick as a dog. Hey, I'm going to work this just a second. I don't have a lot on this because, amen, but I don't need to because I'll cover all the points real quick. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. By the word of their testimony. Revelation chapter 12 verse 11. Notice first of all, before you have a testimony, you first need some blood. It's not just any blood. It was the spotless lamb, the sinless one. That's his blood. Pure blood. Precious blood. Blood for atonement. As a matter of fact, amen, there's protection through the blood of Jesus. There is healing through the blood of Jesus. There is deliverance for your alcohol, your porn, amen, your crack cocaine, amen, and your ungodly religion, amen, through the blood of Jesus. Matter of fact, while I'm on the subject, you can have a ton of religion and not have one lick of salvation. Come on, amen. Amen. I'm not trying to get you to church. No, sir, that's where we went wrong right there. Because you see, Judas repented to the church and didn't repent to Jesus. So therefore, the church couldn't help him no more. They throwed him out, amen, kept his money. So the only thing left for him to do is take a rope, throw it over a limb, and hang himself in the field of blood while his bowels gushed out. If he'd went back to Jesus, he'd been alive and well. I see him when I get to heaven. So let me tell you something, amen. The church may not want you, but Jesus still loves you. The church may not have room for you, but Jesus is pursuing you. I'm telling you, thank God for Jesus. Now you turn me on when you get on him. There's deliverance through his blood. There's cleansing for your conscience through his blood. There's access into the presence of God through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There is overcoming, sustaining power through his shed blood. No wonder. No wonder Rob, the songwriter, penned the words. This is for you old-timers out there. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Come on. Would you be free? Now, the younger generation, it's time for them to learn something. So let's go back about 50 years and dance a minute. Come on. Amen. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory to win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Listen to this. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood. Woo! I'm getting the Holy Ghost. There's power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. Hallelujah. Listen to me. The old timers might not have had a whole lot of revelation that we have today, but what they did know, they knew well. And one of the things that they knew well was there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, I grew up in one of them homes where the only PhD my mother ever had was her Pentecostal hairdo. Come on, that thing piled up on top of her head looked like a honeybee hive. Come on. Oh, mama'd get excited and that hair get to slinging around and around. Me and my three brothers start ducking, amen, making bets on who's going to get their eye out first. Then bobby pins would start loosening up and start firing off, amen, like 22 long-range bullets. Pew, that went one. Pew, mama getting loose now. Come on. Huh? I was raised like that. I guess you know that by now. I wouldn't fit in one of these churches, amen, where the most spiritual thing you ever hear is, I'm hoarse. You get the point. I don't fit in places like that. Just put me in a house full of people that's sick and tired of being sick and tired, wanting change, amen, and done with routine, and we'll get along just fine. Right? I grew up watching my mom and dad plead the blood of Jesus Christ on everything, man. I mean, cats. Remember Spanky one time, amen, got an ingrown toenail, our cat. Daddy went to the cupboard, oh, bless Jesus. Here he come with the oil, amen. By the time he got done with Spanky, he smelled like olive oil. Come on, amen. Fleas wouldn't have nothing to do with him for the next 3 years. They'd jump on, slide right off. Come on, amen. He'd anoint the old dogs. He'd anoint the garden. He'd anoint the house. Well, back then, he'd anoint the Maverick, the Vega, the station wagon. My dad and mom wouldn't go anywhere without pleading the blood of Jesus first. They instilled this old song inside me as a child. What can wash away my sins? Nothing. I said nothing but the blood of Jesus. As old Papa Si says on Duck Dynasty, that's a fact, Jack. There's only one thing to take away your sins, and that's the blood of Jesus. Can we give him praise one more time tonight for his blood? Moving along. Not only we have his armor and a name above all names and the blood of Jesus, but watch this. We've also been empowered with the word of God Almighty. This Bible is precious to me that I have in my hand tonight for more than one reason. One reason is because it's the word of God. And I dare some of you to pull up on YouTube, amen, over in China where they received their first Bible and watch them go nuts. You see, in China, it's illegal to have a Bible. It's against protocol. It's against their laws. You can't have a Bible in, a Christian Bible in China. So I can tell you what they do in China, and you can think that I'm being gross and perverse if you want to, but I won't apologize, amen, for the passion that they have in China. They don't have Bibles in China. Most of them just have little pages that's been torn out and shipped to them. And they take those little pages of scriptures, and I've watched them do it. They wad it up into a little ball, and they stick it up in their rectum. They pack it. I'm not meaning that to be funny, so there's no joke with it. What they do is they do that to keep from the word of God being confiscated and their hands cut off from possessing truth. Right? And so what ends up happening is they get off into a place by themselves and they pour their little candles out and they light it and they dig up in their rectum and they pull out their scriptures and clean the feces off of and they open it up under a candle and they weep like babies as they read, amen, the Psalm 23. Right? So the word of God has an effect on my life because I'm blessed to have not one book, amen, but I probably got about 15 of them. And there's nobody standing at the back door tonight with an AR-15 ready to blow my brains out, amen, if I'm caught with one. I thank God that I live in a nation, amen, where I'm free to have a Bible. Now, that ain't always going to be that way. If anybody like Obama's elected, amen, he's going to try to take everything he can away from us. Calls himself a Christian, but it's obvious, amen, he's a blood-sucking, amen, an individual who's always trying to suck the life out of the church, incarcerate us. As a matter of fact, amen, it only took him 2 hours to raise the flag or paint the White House in rainbow colors celebrating gay imagery, but it took him 7 days to put the flag down to half-staff to celebrate the commemorate, amen, the fallen of the Marines, amen, that are in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm telling you, amen, he's so blooming crooked he screws his socks on that that offend you, amen, you're the one I'm talking to. Come on. I'm tired of backing down from it. I'm tired of apologizing for it. Amen. Let me tell you something. If we preachers would stand up and tell the truth a little more often, amen, let me tell you something, amen. Amen. 8 million evangelical Christians wouldn't have went and put him in office twice. I appreciate all four of you that clapped. I know this is strong for some of you. Some of you have already made up your mind. Well, I'm not coming back. Well, you know what? Stay at the house. I've never seen a tree die because the dead fruit fell off the limb. I'm not here for the money. I've been doing this for 21 years. I might sound like somebody just starting out. They've been telling me my whole life. Well, I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, people are going to quit having you. I'm the most booked up evangelist that I know of my circle of running with. You want to know why? Because I realized years ago that God wrote 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions. You either get right or you get left, period. Come on. And I believe with all of my heart, amen, there's still a remnant left, Brother Leonard. There's still a remnant left on earth today, amen, that believes in the blood of Jesus. And they believe in the armor of God. And they believe there is a name that's above all names. And they believe in the precious word of Almighty God. Give him praise tonight. Yes, sir. Praise him good. The second reason why this book is precious to me is because when I was in Africa, well, even before that, I was strung out on drugs and alcohol, cocaine and crack. I was a male dancer. I was a drug dealer. I was making $3,000 to $5,000 a week in clear-cut profit dealing cocaine and marijuana. I was into alcohol, sticking needles in my veins, and I was ultimately eating out of a dumpster diving behind McDonald's when God saved me. I was at the point of suicide and didn't want to live anymore. So you see why I'm so passionate about what I'm doing. I didn't go to seminary. Nobody educated me or trained me. I'm still green behind the ears in a lot of ways. And believe it or not, I'm very effective and very successful even in Southern, independent, fundamental Baptist churches. I don't preach like this when I'm in their church. Don't laugh. It's not funny. You want to know why? They can't take it. They're not used to it. You blow them out the back door. I become all things to win man. The truth of the fact of it is, I don't have to compromise my principles to settle down, cut the message in half, and get down where the nitty gritty is, get them into a room, lock the door, light a candle, then walk out and leave them with Jesus. Hello. Right. So I've been able to be very successful in all denominations, been able to go in and preach simply because, amen, that I believe, amen, that I haven't forgot what it's like to be lost. I haven't forgot the pain of wondering where my next meal is going to come from. I haven't forgot what it's like to puke all over myself and urinate all over myself. I haven't forgot, amen, what it's like, amen, to have to go to a doctor and wonder if I got an STD disease. I haven't forgot what it's like to put a pistol in my mouth and feel the cold barrel on the roof of my tongue, amen, as I pull back the hammer, amen, and play Russian roulette with a gun. Amen. I haven't forgot what it's like to be lost. Amen. But let me tell you something else I hadn't forgot. I haven't forgot October the 16th, 1994, when this white boy had a head-on collision with God and it killed the old man. I hadn't forgot what it's like to be saved. I haven't forgot what it is to be redeemed. I haven't forgot what it is to be forgiven. I haven't forgot what it is, amen, to walk in the presence of God and leave change from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I haven't forgot. And I will not apologize for preachers with no passion. I may stick out like a sore thumb, but that's who I am. That's what God made me to be. I came home in a drunken stupor. I sat down at the piano one night and my mom looked at me and she said, "Daniel?" I said, "What?" She said, "You think God's called you to preach?" Dude, I'm drunk on Jägermeister. Okay, some of you don't know what that is. I'm drunk on Jägermeister, done smoked up about a quarter bag of grass and done about a, I don't know, man, 2, 3, 4 lines of cocaine. I'm high as a kite. I'm at home. Mom asked me, "Do you think God's called you to preach?" "Oh, yeah, Mom. When are we getting started?" Look like Otis Campbell. Come on, amen. What I did not realize is that my mama had already went to the Christian bookstore and bought me a Bible and had my name printed on the front of it. Now, you can't see it from back there. Leonard can't even see it from right there. But anyhow, the name on this Bible, listen to me, the name my mom had put on this Bible, Preacher Man. Preacher Man. And come time Christmas, amen, my mother walked up and handed me this Bible. And my life's never been the same. My mother died 7 years ago of a massive heart attack when I was in Africa preaching the National Conference for the Nation of Zambia, 9,000 miles on the other side of the world. I got a phone call as I was walking up on the platform. Listen to me. I was getting ready to go up, one of the greatest highlights of my life. So many people were there, amen, that I went to the back of the altar call line for first-time salvations, and it was a quarter mile long. It was an amazing experience. And I was excited, and I was kind of off to the side there, and they'd done worship and praise and been beating on the bongo drums with bones, amen, and sticks, and it was amazing. Sing a shout to the Lord, amen, trying to sing it in English to honor and commemorate me from being an American. And man, I come up on the platform, and my pastor that I took with me grabbed me by the belt loop and said, "Come here for a second." I walked back down. He said, "I just got a phone call from Sister Wendy." He said, "You need to take this phone call. That's my wife." I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Brother, you need to talk to her." And I knew then something was wrong, because TR wouldn't have done that to me when I was headed up to the pulpit to preach. So I reached over and grabbed the phone. I said, "Sweetheart, what's going on?" And I heard her crying on the other end of the phone. And Wendy, all Wendy says is, "Daniel, I'm okay and the kids are all right, but it's your mama." And the first words out of my mouth was, "She's dead, isn't she?" I knew she was dead. And she said, "Yes, they just found her in the hallway dead of a massive heart attack at 58 years of age." Now I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you get a phone call 9,000 miles on the other side of the world, when it's dark here and daylight there, and you feel so far away, you feel so lonely, you feel so empty and helpless, you need something to sustain you. Come on. Amen. I had to have more than a TV guide. I needed something more than a Cosmopolitan magazine or a home improvement. Come on. Amen. I needed the Word of God to encourage me. I needed the Word of God to strengthen me. And Pat and Brother TR looked over at me. He said, "I want you to go out there in the bush, and I want you to cry that you can't cry no more. Then you get your butt on that platform, and you do what your mama sent you here to do." I walked up on that platform, amen. Amen. And I preached my heart out that night. And that was the first time, amen, I'd ever won a Muslim to Jesus Christ. I won 287 Muslims for Jesus Christ that night in that crusade. It's like my mother leaned over the portals of glory and she kissed Zambia, Africa, and caught me in the smack. I'm telling you, greater is He that lives within me than he that's within the world. Thank God for His Word. Thank God, Brother Leonard. I know what some of you are thinking, dude. You need to settle down a little bit. We got visitors here. Oh, you afraid I'm going to make them nervous? Huh? They're going to leave. They've done leave when I started dancing the first time. I've had enough of that already. Why haven't they left? Because they're curious. I think I possess something tonight they'd all love to have. It's called freedom. Don't tell me you don't sit in church and there's times, amen, that you don't want to lift your hands and scream out hallelujah. But you're afraid of what other people sitting around you are going to say about you and think about you if you really get delivered. My God bless you, brother. I preached the other night, don't miss your move. When he took off a running a while ago, I told Gary, I said, "There's one that got it." Huh? Somebody said we need a Jericho march. No, he just had a Jericho run. Thank God for you, brother. Freedom. We've been empowered with the Word of God. The same Word that God used to create the universe. The same Word that Jesus used to cast out devils. The same Word that Jesus used to heal the sick. The same Word He used to open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears and make the dead to arise. We have the same Word that empowered Jesus Christ to feed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. It's not a new Word that we have to experiment with and eventually work out the wrinkles. It's the same Word that's already been settled in heaven since the beginning of time. Let me give you book, chapter, and verse to prove the authenticity of the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is my servant warned, and in keeping of the Word of God, there is great reward. The Word of God. Hey, I'm getting ready to close out, but you know what? That don't mean I am. I'm just telling you, I'm getting ready. For those of you, this is the 4th service. You already know I have 8 closings. There's the first one. Only in America can you preach too long. And by the way, let me drop a nugget off tonight, all these new faces we see. I'm kind of weird because I think normal doesn't work anymore. I have an addiction to go against the grains of what everybody calls normacy. Because if that was working, then we'd do that. But it's not working. Our kids are sitting in church, bored out of their blooming minds, playing paper football, sending text messages back and forth. That's exactly right. They have no hunger. They have no thirst. They're at home, eat up with self-gratification. I'm trying to be tactful because there's little ears still in the room. You read between the lines, self-gratification. And they can't come clean with anything because it's a dirty thing and they're afraid the church will throw them away. So they come to church with these issues going on in their lives, but we never produce what this book advertises. Therefore, they never move, they never convert, they never get convicted, they never change. So what eventually has wound up happening now in 2016, after 21 years of doing this, I'm watching churches bury more than they're converting. And it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. Because let me tell you something, the life source of any ministry is new converts. When a church stops seeing people born again, that church will turn in on itself and ultimately destroy itself. It's the truth. We need the Word of God again. We need to quit tiptoeing around in the tulips. Listen, we live in a society today where we're afraid to offend anybody anymore except God. A lady asked me the other day, she said, how in the world could God let something like this happen to America? I said, what do you mean? We're on a plane sitting beside one another. I said, what do you mean? I knew what she meant, but I'm playing a game. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you know, terrorist attacks, school shootings, anthrax in the mailbox, suicide at an all-time high, divorce rate, pastors leading divorce rate by 7%, blah, 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 blah. I said, the answer to that is that I believe God's very deeply saddened by what's taking place in America. I said, but it seems to me that for years now we've been telling God to get out of our government, get out of our schools, get out of our lives, and now get out of our churches. Right? That's right. Oh, that is right. Oh, that's very right. Because I'm in church every week, and I can tell you, amen, I go to some of them, amen, I can't find Jesus, amen, no matter what room I walk in. All right? I mean, it's just the truth. There's no freedom and liberty till I clock out and leave. Some churches, amen, I don't want to leave. Others, I can't wait to leave. Miles right, roll right, Ichabod, cross the marquee sign, the glory of God departed. Hello? It's gone. It's gone. Nothing but just a hole and a shell of what used to be. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I said, for years now we've been telling God to get out of our government, get out of our schools, and get out of our lives. And being the gentleman that God is, I believe he's commonly backed out, ma'am. How in the world can America keep demanding God bless us and we also demand he leave us alone? Huh? See, Madeline Mary O'Hara complained she didn't want prayer in schools and the church said, okay. That's exactly right. You know, then we say, well, you know what? Now, amen, we can't even bake cupcakes, amen, unless it's for homosexuals, amen, and we lose our church, our ministry, our business, everything else. Found that ironic 3 days ago, amen, there was a guy here in Florida that went to a gay bakery with a cake and had them put on it, amen, homosexuality is a sin. They throwed him out of the store. Huh? See, going to preach tolerance, but yet they're intolerant themselves. And by the way, all these new faces, let me say tonight, in case you think you were born to homosexual, get born again. That'll help you right there. Get started. Come on. Amen. You're not born gay. It's a choice that you make. Just like alcoholics aren't born alcoholics and drug addicts aren't born drug addicts. Child molesters aren't born child molesters. It's decisions that you make. And you don't have to amen me. You've been listening to MSLSD, amen. Keith Overbite, amen. And spittle infested Chris Matthews for too long. Come on. The truth of the fact of it is we ought to get back to what's right and what's wrong. I'm not raising dogs in my house. I'm raising a little boy and a little girl. And if the Bible says it's right, then it's right. And if the Bible says it's wrong, then it's wrong. I'm not playing games with the Word of God. Amen. It is the authoritative, pure, undefiled, living Word of God that still says people free. It's not up for debate. It is impossible for me to overstate the importance of this revelation. See, some of you drawed back when I got on homosexuality. You want to know why? Because you used to amen me until your son said he was gay. And now all of a sudden, well, you don't need to go there. Why? Why? You want another son that's gay? You want another daughter that's a lesbian? You want their friends that, come on. I'm not picking on them, but the time has come to sound the alarm. Because we've got a society today, amen, that really believes, amen, that, well, you need to just leave them alone. You need this, that. I'm not picking on them. I'm simply saying there's deliverance for them. And it sure beats the route that America's taking right now. Because as long as you say that Ray Bolts is okay being the way that he is, amen, or Jennifer Knapp is okay being a lesbian, they'll never find deliverance, amen. They'll never find hope. They'll never find freedom. We've got to stand up and say there is help for you. Amen. You don't have to die this way. There is help for you. Amen. I'm telling you, there's help in the blood of Jesus, and there's freedom in the Word of God. These are subjects that we don't talk about anymore in church. We sweep it under a rug because, again, we seek to not offend anybody anymore except God. It's impossible to overstate the importance of this revelation. See, some of you won't be back tonight. And let me tell you why you won't be back to this revival. You don't really want to change. That's the reason you don't come back. I don't help everybody, and I'm not for everybody. I understand that, and that doesn't make you wrong. But I am only for those, and I can only help those that really won't change in their life. If you don't want change, then I'm already on your nerves. You're already judging me. I love it when people come up to me and say, well, you don't have a right to judge. Well, you just judge me for judging by saying I couldn't judge. Just mess with them. Come on, amen. It's fun. It's fun. I learned that from Al Gore. That's called political correctness. Come on, amen. He taught me well. It's impossible to overstate the importance of the Word of God. This Bible right here, Brother Leonard, is the inerrant, errorless means by which God communicates and accomplishes His will. So important was the Word of God to Job that Job said in chapter 23 and verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of God's mouth more than my necessary food. In other words, amen, Job said, that what God had to say was far more important to him than his fried chicken, turnip greens, and pinto beans and cornbread. It was more important to Job than three meals a day. It was the fuel by which Job lived his life and by which he was sustained during severe trial. America is in a severe trial. We're under trial morally. We're under attack spiritually. We're under attack politically. We're under attack mentally. We're under attack financially. We're under attack socially. And if we're going to sustain during this warfare, you better find you a Bible and stick your nose in it. That's the only sustainment for severe trial. It's the Word of God when you read it. It's the Word of God when it sits on your shelf. It's the Word of God when you like it. And it's the Word of God when you leave tonight and say, I ain't going back there. They over-advertised that thing. Who in God's name does he think he is? Why has he got to be so loud? And I'm wondering why you got to be so quiet. Huh? Is that Pharaoh said it last night? Went over good. Thought I'd try it again. Didn't go over as good tonight. We got new faces. Why's he got to scream and holler? You see how they acted last night, amen, when North Carolina lost, amen, and that team threw that ball out there, amen, alarm went off, it went there. Did you see how hysterical they went? He dealt with it a while ago. Why is it that the world gets excited and fired up about overtime, yet the church gets offended, starts looking at their watch if I'm longer than 30 minutes? Could have something to do with passion. So let me go ahead and set some of you free real quick. I've noticed you've been doing it for the last 10 minutes, and now one of you just caught eye contact with me. So let me go ahead, amen, and deal with that. If you get finished before I do, you can leave. I'm not through. You know why I'm not through? There's alcoholics in the house. There's drug addicts in the house. There's homosexuals in this house. And you know what? I watched a homosexual a while ago nod his head at me while I was preaching on homosexuality. You know when it was he nodded his head? When I got to talking about a man that you deserve deliverance and freedom to. Don't tell me it's just an alternate lifestyle. Let me put it this way. Unless you were born with a birth canal and a uterus, you will never be a female Bruce Jenner. Cut it out. That's strong right there. I wish you hadn't said that. Well, I did. I'm not going to apologize. Let's move on. It's where we are, guys. This is the world we live in now. And it's amazing when you hear it from the pulpit, it ticks you off. But you hear it out there in society and it doesn't affect you one bit. What's that all about? What's that all about? You agree with worse stuff than that by your lifestyle. You see, if you're in this room tonight and you think that I'm too hard, it's only because you're not hard enough on yourself. That's the only reason I'm too hard. The truth is, amen, it's the Word of God when you agree, and it's the Word of God when you don't agree. It's the Word of God in leather. It's the Word of God in paperback. It only takes 72 hours and 40 minutes to read the whole entire Bible at pulpit rate. It takes 52 hours and 20 minutes to read the Old Testament. It takes 18 hours and 20 minutes to read the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Psalms takes the longest to read, 4 hours and 28 minutes. In the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke takes 2 hours and 43 minutes. That is less than 12 minutes a day to read the Bible through in a year. Yet we neglect the greatest weapon given to us by God Himself, and often to our own peril. When God speaks, things happen. But Satan likes to hear us say what? We going to do. Huh? Yeah, that's right. But what he cannot stand is to hear what Jesus did. Not what I'm going to do, but what Jesus did. The devil cannot handle. It is written. I'm here to tell you, amen, that this Bible is alive. Oh, it's just a book to some of you. And to others, probably one worth pouring gas on and burning. But let me tell you something about this book in my right hand. It's alive. As a matter of fact, it has a voice that screams at me. It has feet that runs after me. It has hands that lays hold on me. And it has a personality that captivates me. Come on, folks. My God, thank you for His Word tonight. Thank God for His Word. Let me hurry along here. In a world of theory, I need a more sure word, Brother Leonard. People seem to live by their reason, their emotions, and their experiences. But those of us who are born again must lean on more than emotions, reasons, and experiences. We must learn to lean hard on a more sure word of prophecy. I don't need something delusional. I need something definitive. I don't need something arrogant. I need something absolute. I don't need something opinionated. I need something authoritative. The Bible, and only the Bible, is the absolute, definitive, errorless, authoritative, comprehensive, and eternal Word of God. God does not have two and three words. Words, and nor did he write 4 and 5 books. There is one definitive written revelation that has been sent by God for mankind's destiny, and that is the Holy Bible. I said that is the Holy Bible. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God. Give Him praise one more time. Whew. In closing tonight, we've been armed with the power of praise. Praise is one of the most effective weapons we contain in our arsenal of defense. Praise is so powerful as a weapon that even a prison could not hold any of the inmates because only two dared to praise God in the midnight hour. Praise will knock down your walls. Praise will open prison doors. Praise will set the captives free. Praise will get you off crutches a little early. Come on. Praise will bring divine assistance into your battle, just like it did for Jehoshaphat. Praise even has the ability to literally confuse your enemies. Praise is so powerful that the very lack of praise shut up the womb of David's wife and brought about quickly the inability to produce life to the day she died. I said, when you walk in them back doors, Gary, armed with praise, you are flat out, without a doubt, armed and dangerous. I wish somebody in this house would act like they believe that, despite the one sitting beside you that looks dead. Come on, hello. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for praise. The truth of the fact of it is, you are called, you are chosen, you are anointed, and you are appointed. You are armed and you are dangerous. Let me tell you something, Christians. We have the advantage. Greater is he that is within you than he that's within the world. That devil has underestimated Heart Cry Chapel. And he's also underestimated some of you visiting tonight. Let me tell you something about Heart Cry Chapel, since I'm now literally a member. Hear this. We are not some weak-kneed, limp-wristed, defeated, discouraged, beat down, head hanging in the dirt, bunch of believers just trying to hold the fort till Jesus comes. We are the army of God Almighty, and we are armed and dangerous. Now, and blind. Listen to me. What a God. What a God. Told you the devil lied. I pushed right on through that, didn't I? Amen. Daddy sing bass. Come on, amen. That's right. That's an advantage to being hoarse. The harder I preach, it'll clear up. I'll be singing like a mockingbird by this time next week, Leonard. You didn't get that. Moving on. Y'all shouted for him going one more night. I'm trying to get off in the next week. Nobody clapped. Come on, amen. I'm just playing. Amen. I love hanging out with you for a little while, but I got a cute little girl back in Alabama, a man named Mama, waiting on Daddy. Amen. I miss my wife and my babies. Guys, thank you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. We've reached the most crucial point of this service. It's not the singing, and it's not always necessarily the preaching. The most crucial part of any service is our response. The phone has rang tonight. Will you answer or kick him into voicemail? You only kick those in voicemail you don't have time to talk to. You only kick people into voicemail when you don't really want to take the time to answer. Now let me tell you something tonight. For some of you sitting in the room and you've never made an altar call, you've never came forward. Let me tell you something about that. I've been where you are at. And I can tell you right now that a 1,000-mile journey begins with the first step. Something else I'll tell you. When you find yourself in a hole, just quit digging. Three little frogs, five as a matter of fact, were jumping through the jungle. All of a sudden, after about 15 minutes, two of the little frogs come up missing. So the other three turned around to go back in search to try to find a man, their two comrades. Hopping back through the jungle, Brother Leonard, they came up on a big old hole in the middle of the jungle floor, looked off in the bottom of it, and there they were. They stand in the bottom of that hole just to jump and trying to get out of that pit with everything they had. Three little frogs, amen. Must have been Baptist because they had a committee meeting. Come on, amen. I was saved in a Baptist church and I got some Babticostal in me, so leave me alone. All right, I'm not a denomination, amen. I love them all. I think we've all got something to contribute to one another. So don't you get offended and upset that I said something about Baptists. Pentecostals are worse. Does that make you feel better? All right, now move on. All right. So they look over in there and they have a little committee meeting. Amen. They got together and they thought, you know what? This is impossible. There's no way they can get out of this pit. It's deep. It's dark. It's wide. My God, there's no hope. So the little frogs leaned over in the hole and hung their heads over the edge of it. Amen. They looked down and the little frogs just jumping, trying to get out of that pit with everything they had inside of them. All of a sudden, amen, they began to scream and holler. Hey, it's too deep and dark. You can't get out of that hole. Spare yourself the pain. Save yourself the trouble. Just quit the effort. You'll never have any hope. After a little while of encouraging the two little frogs, one of them believed it, fell over in the corner and croaked. But the other little frog, a little more persistent, kept jumping. He kept jumping. He kept jumping. And the more they would scream and holler at him and sling their arms at him and try to get him to quit and give up and throw in the towel, the higher he'd get. They were saying, "Won't you just stop?" He'd get a little higher. "Why don't you go in the towel and just quit?" He'd get a little higher. "Why don't you just stop right now? There's no hope for you. This is your destiny. It's over. Been good knowing you." But I'm telling you something, he kept jumping until all of a sudden, shoo, made it out of the hole. Watch, wait. The moral of the story is this. This little frog was deaf. Hey, wait. He thought all alone they were encouraging him. "Come on, give it all you got. Give it everything you got. Put your hook." What's the point? Be careful who you listen to. Because we're at the point of decision right now tonight. And the devil's going to tell you it's too deep. It's too dark. It's too wide. And all you've seen me doing tonight was, I'm rooting for you, friend. We turned the lights on for alcoholics. We flipped on the power tonight, amen, for drug addicts. And for those in this house tonight, amen, that have never walked the altar and surrendered their life to Jesus Christ, amen, that's why we pay rent on the building. Amen, is that we might be of some assistance and some help to somebody who has lost their way in life. Yes, I have preached long tonight, but I've done a doggone good job. Come on, hello. And I had fun. And I told the truth. If you can take that Bible laying in your lap and come up here and prove me wrong biblical to anything I said, I'll make a promise with you. I'll get back in the pulpit tomorrow night in front of 175 people. And I'll tell them, amen, that I messed up last night and was biblically inerrant. But I don't think you're going to find that tonight. I'm not being arrogant. It's just I know who Jesus is. I know how he thinks. He walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own, amen. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has known. Amen, I've got a relationship with Jesus. I'm not in the fellowship. I'm in the intimacy. Come on, amen. Because let me tell you something. Hey. I'm not in the fellowship. I'm in the intimacy. You want to know why? Because no woman has ever gotten pregnant by holding hands. You become impregnated through becoming one together and spending quiet time alone. I got in a quiet place today and the Spirit of God began to stir my spirit. Can I tell you, friend, that that's your problem in the room tonight? Is some of you, your life is too full of noise. You need to find a quiet place and get alone. Brother, would you turn that CD on I've got back there? Thank you, Brother Chris. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do something really, really weird, unorthodox, out of tradition, breaking ritual. Because I'm a team player. This song talks about, amen, I'm clean. Nothing's too dirty that he can't make worthy. What a song. And this is what I want to do right now. I want you to watch what's going to happen. This is that miracle I was talking about tonight that you're going to witness before your very eyes. Watch this. You better hope it happens. It will. It will. Watch what's fixing to happen. Listen to me. I'm going to use Leonard and Karen for example for a second. I want you to watch how they do this. This couple has been married for many, many years, but I don't want y'all laughing and giggling and looking at one another real cute because you're uncomfortable asking the question. I'm going to ask Leonard to ask Karen a question. And I'm going to ask Karen to ask Leonard that same question. Come here, both of you. I want to put this on display. And I want you to watch the seriousness in this face. Many, many years of marriage. Nobody knows Leonard like this sweetheart does. And nobody knows this sweetheart like that man does. You think you know them, but you don't know them like they know one another. And I want you to watch the compassion and the seriousness. I didn't even tell them I was going to do this. They don't have a clue what they're fixing to do. Just listen to me. But I want you to watch the seriousness in Leonard's face when he looks Karen in the eyes and ask her this question I'm fixing to have him ask her. And the reason why this is important to be serious is because you don't really know the response you're going to get. I don't care if you've been married to her for 35 years. There's people sitting in this house frayed out their wits' end to get up out of their seat and walk an aisle. Some have never been in a Christian service before. Some folks, this is the first time they've ever heard about Jesus in detail. It ain't easy when you've engulfed alcohol for 25 years to jump up out of your seat and run to an altar. So here's what I want you to ask her, Leonard. I want you to look Karen in the eyes and ask her this. Sweetheart, if you need to go to that altar, come on, I'll go with you. This is how I want you to do it. Because the question that they're asking one another right now, you'll feel very uncomfortable looking at your mate. And you'll start grinning and laughing, trying to ease the moment. Don't do that. I had an altar call like this 3 weeks ago. And a man sitting in the room that had been pastoring a church for 37 years asked his wife that question. And she said, yes, been pastoring for 37 years and never been saved. I didn't have a clue. She said, yes, honey, I do, because I go to bed every night wondering if I die, will I really go to heaven? I want you to look at the person sitting beside you, whether you're married to them, whether you know them or not. And I want you to ask them that. See, there you go already. There's about four of you already laughing, cutting up. Amen. Don't do that. How disrespectful. There's nothing funny about it. All you're doing is going to start something, and it's going to be all over the church, everybody laughing, cutting up, giggling. And then what it winds up doing, amen, is it eases the conscience of a heathen sitting behind you that he wants to laugh and make a joke out of it. It's not a joke. Very seriously, look at the person sitting beside you and ask them in sincerity, if you need to go to that altar, come on, I'll go with you. And watch what's going to happen. Let's do it, friend. Let's do it, friend. Look at that. Why am I going to the altar? I'll tell you why we come into the altar. God, make us armed and dangerous. Give me a greater hunger for your word. Make me thankful for the blood of Jesus. Hello. Hello. God, make me thankful for your precious presence. Let me thankful, God, for your peace. Let me be thankful tonight, God, for prayer time. Lord, I thank you for praise. My God, my God. Play it again if you will, brother. Turn that up loud, please, real loud, because I don't want nobody to hear somebody else praying. Thank you, Chris. So what are we doing down here right now? I'll tell you what we're doing. First of all, we're bowing our knee to Jesus Christ. And with our tongue, we're going to confess him as being Lord and Lord and King of Kings. You know what I see tonight? I see Muslims in this altar. My God. I see alcoholics in this altar. I see drug addicts in this altar. I see those, amen, that have chosen homosexuality and lesbianism in this altar right now in humility, asking Jesus for favor, for salvation. Pour your hearts out to him for a greater hunger and a greater thirst. Can we dim the lights, Chris? Please. You wash me in mercy. And I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean.
There I am. I'm back. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's all I know to say. Just let God have his way. He wants to change you. He wants to change you because he loves you. He wants to change your marriage. You got to take this down a little bit or something, Chris. Thank you. He just wants you to let him love you. So you can love everybody else the way you're supposed to. We tried for years to love each other. We didn't know how. Till Jesus came in. And if some of you here may be engaged to be married or whatever, let me tell you something. Without Jesus, you don't have a lot of chance. With Jesus, it's still a fight. But it's a fight you're guaranteed to win with Him. I hope Jesus has done something in your life tonight. And I hope He started something. I hope He started something. Because revival, as I said last night, is not something that just a one-time flash. The fire's got to burn. Fire's got to burn, but you got to keep putting wood on the fire and let it burn. If you want God to bless you, single moms, there's a lot of single moms in our church. God bless you. You're warriors. You're warriors. You're raising your kids by yourself. You're a warrior. God's ordained you. You're mom and dad, but you know what? That's okay. He'll honor it. Keep fighting. Don't give up. Don't let go of your kids, single moms. You're warriors. Yes. Just trust God. Love God. And He'll help you. There's some young marrieds here, and I know there's some getting ready to get married. I can tell you, after 43 years and doing it all wrong, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's over now. I hope you're not tired.
Hey, I'm the other half of this, and let me tell you, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, we would not be here standing together and testifying about what God can do in your marriage and what He continues to do. You love God, you read His Word, and you will love each other.
That's right.
And I can't imagine being anywhere else or in anybody else's arms but Leonard.
Chris and Lindsay, that was for you. That's a word for you tonight. Amen? I'm serious. That's a word for you tonight. I know it's late, and it's okay, but God's not done. He's not done with me, so I know He's not done with you. And He's got a lot of fixing to do on Daniel. So I'm going to give God another night. We're going to give God another night. So I hope you'll give God another night. I hope you'll give God another night. And I hope you'll bring somebody else. And I hope you've prayed. We need at least 10 people in that kids' nursery tomorrow night. Because I got a feeling there's going to be more kids. And so if you're willing to do that, Christina, stand up here. She directs our kids' nursery and kids' area and kids' corral. And God has anointed her. But she's going to be over there, right? You're headed over there?
Yeah.
I hope so. They're probably all quit by now. And if you will, it's out the doors and to the right there in that first door on the right. Just go over and tell her, I'll be here tomorrow night to help you. We need 10. Let me tell you something, okay? You can go ahead. We had 2 people from our crew tonight. And I got on my phone and I said, don't worry about it. I text Pastor Henry at Casa Christiana, that's right around the corner here in this building, that has a worship service here on Thursday night, that has one here on Sunday morning. I tell you, I said, I need 3. I need 3. I'm really sorry, but I need 3 workers for kids tonight. Text him back a little later. Okie dokie. They'll be there. Heart cry? That ought to be us.
Amen.
I shouldn't have to be texting him for help. But you know what? God's fixing all that.
Yes.
God's changing that. Yes. But that's the love of God. They get it. They get it. It's serving. How can I serve you? I walk in here on Sunday morning. Pastor, how can I serve you? I'm not your pastor. He's a, Pastor, how can I serve you? God bless you, Pastor. There's one church. There's one church. The Jesus' church. God's church. So we need some help for tomorrow night, and that's a good problem to have. And I'm not trying to guilt anybody, because I don't want you over there in guilt. Because let me tell you something, we want people over there to love those kids. We demand it, we require it, and God wants it. And we don't just go over there and babysit. We love on them. We take care of them. We've got new babies over here. Amen. Throw them right over there, because she knows they'll be taken care of. God bless you. Somebody, there's somebody in your life. There's somebody in your family, somebody at work, at school. Guys, you can come back tomorrow night. Youth tomorrow night. Ladies, tomorrow night's youth. We're going to have our youth with us. When the youth's here, I mean, they know how to party, don't you guys? Amen. They know how to worship. They led our Wednesday night. We have a once a month Wednesday night, and our youth band led it. Man, I tell you what, they know how to rock. I was at Southland this morning. You know what? Our young people know how to worship. We can learn from that, old people. We can learn from them. Come here tomorrow night. They'll show you. They'll be right up here. Okay? God bless you. Bring somebody back tomorrow night at 6:30. God bless you. I love you. God loves you. If you've got kids, please go get them and thank those workers. Rest of you can hang around all night if you want. I'll wait till you're ready to leave.